This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You can always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage could help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, yes, your life, well, Rocket can. And producing this extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
I don't know about that Hot Take Hickey.
Let's start off with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I saw that Mike Tomlin did an interview with our guy Bryant McFadden the other day of CBS Sports, and basically the takeaway from the interview was if the Steelers had to play a meaningful game tomorrow, regular season game number one, based off the experience of Mitch Trubisky, who I like to call Mitch Trubusky, it would be Trubusky. But Mike Tomlin also said that Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph are performing well enough in training camp that the coaching staff is having a tough time saying definitively, according to Pro Football Talk, that Trubisky will get the job. Here is my problem with this quarterback competition. I know that Mike Tomlin just said what he said, and it gives you the belief that this is an open quarterback competition. But whenever you hear former quarterbacks or you hear local media members in Pittsburgh talk about this competition, the general expectation is that Mitch Trubisky is going to be the starting quarterback. So I'm just wondering how much of a legit competition this is. Because it's one thing to say, oh, we're going to have a quarterback competition. Like in Carolina, they say, oh, it's an open quarterback competition between Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Matt Corral, and even Philip Walker. We all know who's starting 3-4 weeks from now when the season gets underway, when it's the Panthers up against the Cleveland Browns. It's clearly going to be Baker Mayfield, and 2 days ago, Matt Rhule even said in the last 10 days, and it's only been 10 days, Baker Mayfield has made significant progress. In Pittsburgh, I don't see the upside in going to Mitch Trubisky. Because if you look at this Steelers team, what is the apex for the Steelers this year? Make a wild card spot? Be a wild card team like you were a year ago, a 7 seed, play good defense, offensive line hopefully improves. You have some nice skill position players, George Pickens, the rookie. I like Deontay Johnson. Chase Claypool's a solid player. Pat Freiermuth is a very good tight end in this league. I love Najee Harris, but you don't have the quarterback. And the last few years, the Steelers haven't had the quarterback. And that's not being disrespectful to Big Ben, but Big Ben was clearly way past his prime. And he was definitely on the back nine of his career. And it seemed as if he was on hole 18 for a while. And no matter how many times he hit the ball into the woods or hit the ball into the water, they kept on allowing him to hit shots on the 18th hole before he finally said at the end of last season, okay, it's time to walk away. Like, Big Ben should not have been the starting quarterback for the Steelers last year. The Rooney family, though, has a soft spot for Big Ben, and allowed him to come back for another year on a reworked deal, albeit. But Big Ben the last few years has not been the same quarterback. And we also saw Big Ben get hurt that one year, and Mason Rudolph, along with Quack Quack Duck Hodges, lead that team to 8-8. Mike Tomlin, we all know, is a really damn good football coach. It's tough to be a coach in the NFL for north of a decade and never have one season below 500. He also, though, has not won a playoff game since that year where they talked a lot of smack and ended up losing to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that was 2017, 2018. So it's been a while since Mike Tomlin has had success to the standard that people anticipate that success of being in Pittsburgh. Because the Steelers, I don't want to say they used to be a proud organization, because they're still one of the better organizations and the better run organizations in the entire National Football League. But for a while, and there's a reason why they only had three head coaches in the modern era, Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, and then Mike Tomlin, is because there's been a standard. And in a lot of those years, those coaches have met that standard or come really damn close to meeting that standard. But for the last few years, if you're a Steelers fan, you go into the season and you go, all right, it's another year of Steelers football. What's the goal this year? It's not to win a Super Bowl. It's not to win the AFC North. It's just to make the playoffs. And it's felt like that's been the case for the last few years. And yes, have they won the division? Sure. But I've never looked at the Steelers in the last 2 to 3 years and go, wow, holy smokes, this is a team that's going to win a Super Bowl. And when you have that many championships in your franchise's history, the standard is to win a Super Bowl. But going into this season, no one could tell me that the Steelers are going to be a playoff team. So when I look at this quarterback competition, I think Mike Tomlin and the new general manager, Omar Khan, should learn from what the Patriots did a year ago. Because, yes, it wasn't fresh off losing your franchise legend in Tom Brady. There was a Cam Newton buffer a year in between. But going into last year, the Patriots drafted Mac Jones, 15th overall pick in the first round. Mac Jones was the fifth quarterback off the board, not the first quarterback off the board like Kenny Pickett was. And I remember in last summer, I sat here, Hickey and I, we had debates, who's going to start week one. Hickey made some great points, and I totally agreed with him. When you get into this, what will happen and what should happen, it's totally different what you think should happen and then sometimes what will happen. Sometimes what you think will happen or what you think should happen ends up happening. But last year, I kept on feeling, until Cam missed about a few days of practice because of a COVID concern, I felt as if Mac should be the starter, but it was going to be Cam. And I looked at that situation and I said, what's the upside in starting Cam? And I basically gave you a hum and a hum and a hum and a, because there's no upside in starting Cam. Cam Newton, we know, is no longer an efficient, a good, and even average quarterback in this league. So as long as Mac showed a pulse last year and Mac showed you that he could be the guy, I said from the start, I think it's pointless to make him wait 4 or 5 games. And I don't think anyone realistically believes here with the Steelers that Mitch Trubisky is going to have a resurgence of a career and rejuvenate his career in Pittsburgh. It's a nice summer talking point. It's nice when the Buffalo Bills give him words of extolment from the 1 year that he was in Buffalo as a backup quarterback. But if you're being honest with yourself, do you actually see at the end of this year Mitch Trubisky being the guy that makes you say, wow, we have the future in Pittsburgh, and he's our future quarterback? No. The Steelers don't even believe that's going to be the case. Because if that was, and if the organization actually had a lot of confidence in Mitch Trubisky, they would have never drafted Kenny Pickett. So when I'm making these decisions, you need to evaluate your team, the quarterbacks at play. And the Steelers team, it'd be one thing if the Steelers had a team that was ready to win the Super Bowl and you had a veteran quarterback in place, you wanted to wait to hand the baton over to the youngster. But you don't. The Steelers are not a team this year. I see no path for the Steelers winning a Super Bowl this year. Like, you go through your Super Bowl contenders, they just roll right off the tip of the tongue. The Buffalo Bills, anyone that plays in the AFC West, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Baltimore Ravens, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Green Bay Packers, the Los Angeles Rams. Those are your 6 to 10 teams that you could see winning a Super Bowl. People that are saying Buffalo, people that are saying the Rams, people that are saying the Bucs, the Packers, the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Chargers, no one's even mentioning the Steelers. The Steelers are in a category this year where the apex is just make the playoffs. Which, that's how I similarly view New England this year and the Dolphins this year. I don't think those teams do anything better or you could expect anything more than just making the playoffs. And do I think it's likely in a tough division that Pittsburgh's going to even make the playoffs? I don't. And that's even with me prefacing it a few minutes ago, talking about how much respect I have for that defense with Minka Fitzpatrick, TJ Watt, Cam Hayward, the coach and Mike Tomlin, improved skill position players that are now getting a little bit further along in their career, but you don't have the quarterback. And look what New England was able to do last year. They started Mac Jones. They said goodbye to Cam. It was the right call to start Mac Jones. He got that experience, and he won 10 games. Why can't Pittsburgh this year start Kenny Pickett from week one? Give me the alternative who's going to make you drastically a better football team. It'd be one thing if Mitch Trubisky had a lot of success in this league. He doesn't. He's a former number two overall pick that didn't even get a second contract in Chicago, who hasn't had a quarterback in forever. Or maybe ever. So why, if this thing is going to be close, like what Mike Tomlin said, oh, if it's tomorrow because of experience, we're starting Mitch Trubisky. But man, Mason Rudolph and also Kenny Pickett are making it a tough decision. This should be the tiebreaker, be based off of who's going to benefit the most from starting this year and who has the most to provide to you in future years. And the clear answer there is Kenny Pickett. I don't even know if Kenny Pickett's going to be great. First 3-4 years of his career at Pittsburgh, it wasn't anything special. And last year, he was unbelievable. He was a Heisman finalist. One of the better players, and I know that he won the award, in the ACC. Does that mean necessarily that you're going to be a great quarterback in the NFL? No. We've seen Johnny Manziel win the Heisman. What did he amount to in the NFL? Nothing. We've seen Jamarcus Russell have a great college career. What did he amount to in the NFL? Nothing. You could keep on going and going and going for days of guys that bust out in the NFL. But when it comes to the Steelers, give me the upside and tell me the upside of what it is starting Mitch Trubisky or Mason Rudolph. I've seen Mason Rudolph play before. He's not a franchise quarterback in this league. He's not a starting quarterback in this league for an entire season. I've seen Mitch Trubisky play before. I don't have confidence in him, and I don't think he has shown enough in this league based off the experience that Mike Tomlin says for me to go, okay, we're going to punt the Kenny Pickett era. And a lot of people, when they say, oh, let's punt for a few games on Kenny Pickett, that's what you're going to do for 4 or 5 games? It's Shaq Assery. So if Kenny Pickett is given an opportunity and shows he could just be on the same page or better than Mason Rudolph or Mitch Trubisky, then he has to start. It'd be malpractice to the future of your franchise if you don't start Kenny Pickett week one, if he shows in training camp, in these preseason games, and their first preseason game is Saturday night up against Seattle, that he has what it takes to at least be competent this year. Doesn't have to be great, but just be competent. And I have no problem whatsoever starting Kenny Pickett week one. Hickey, can you play devil's advocate here for a second? If you're a Steelers fan, can you make any argument where right now Mike Tomlin, I know they haven't played a game yet, and it's been the early stages of training camp, you had OTAs, mini camp, all that jazz. But if Mike Tomlin's saying, experience-wise, right now, if I had to make a decision based off previous experience, it's going to be Mitch Trubisky. But, man, Mason Rudolph and also Kenny Pickett, they're really emerging. They're making this a decision that won't be easy. Shouldn't that then be an easy decision where you go with the guy that could also survive in the present and maybe could be your guy for the future in Kenny Pickett? I don't get why they wouldn't start in week one if this path does continue.
Devil's advocate, here's why you should start Mitch. This is a veteran team. This is not a young team like the Jaguars that are rebuilding and trying to build it from the ground up with Trevor Lawrence. This is a veteran team that has a lot of older guys that are trying to win right now. That is the Steeler way, for good or for bad. They win and try to win every single year, even if sometimes it's to the detriment, like I think last year was bringing back Big Ben. So with that kind of philosophy, that ethos throughout your entire organization, I think you're doing almost kind of sending the wrong message to the rest of the team, even if, let's say, or if you start Kenny Pickett, although he's not the best quarterback on the team. Like, the guys know who can play and who can't. And if Mitch Trubisky is the best quarterback, even if it's close, not a blow, but if it's like relatively close.
But shouldn't Mitch Trubisky blow out Kenny Pickett with all this experience that he has? Shouldn't this not even be a close competition?
Well, I mean, as you know, experience doesn't mean you're going to be better. It's just how much talent you got.
And can't you make the case that Kenny Pickett's a more talented quarterback right now than Mitch Trubisky? But for example, let me play into your theory here. How many more games do the Steelers win this year with Mitch Trubisky at quarterback than Kenny Pickett? Does it really impact their season that drastically? I would say no.
One, maybe two, but that's, I wouldn't
at
say
best.
That. Yeah, I would agree, yeah.
I think Kenny Pickett gives you a better chance to maybe win more games this year than Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky, he hasn't shown you anything in this league. And I know he got to the playoffs twice. He had a kick-ass defense. I know he has a kick-ass defense this year. But that guy was a number two overall pick. And even after having a good first year, all he's done throughout his career is regress. And all we heard about Kenny Pickett was he's the most NFL-ready quarterback in this draft class. I know it wasn't a great draft class, but that means that guy should be able to go in, you're number one, just like Mac Jones, and be serviceable. Also, if he's not, then you at least know that maybe he's not the guy and not wait to make that decision even further down the road and have that analysis be be determined. Because remember, this is a Kevin Colbert draft class, and now you have a new GM in place. So if it's close, I go with Kenny Pickett. How about you? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. When we come on back, which quarterbacks are going to have a rebirth this season? We got a bunch out there, and I'll give you my thoughts when we return.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
And think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Okay, let's get to a little QB rejuvenation right now. Hickey has compiled the list of a few quarterbacks in the National Football League. We'll get my thoughts on those quarterbacks right now. Hickster, what do you got for me today, pal?
Let's start with Baker Mayfield. Will we see a rejuvenation this season in Carolina?
You know my stance on NFL training camps. I usually hate them 9.9 times out of 10. When I usually go to these things, whether it's been throughout the years in Philadelphia or if it's been in Foxborough or even right across the bridge in New Jersey, you don't really get that much. You don't really gather that much from those training camps, just simply because now you're not really allowed to do things. And I don't want to sound like old man get off my lawn since I'm not that old, but you don't usually get to really see that much because they don't usually allow the players now the freedom and the physicality as they did years ago. But I'm going to be doing the show Monday in Boston at our WEI studios inside the Odyssey umbrella. And then on Tuesday, I won't be here. I'm going to be at training camp, Patriots-Panthers joint practices. And in a weird way, even though I can't stand training camp, I'm actually, I can't believe I'm saying this, excited to just see how Baker Mayfield looks in a new uniform. And maybe it's because it's the joint practices here. Because I've talked to a lot of coaches and a lot of general managers. They put more stock in these joint practices than they do compared to some of these preseason games. So I'm just curious to see up against a professional defense, even though I have my concerns with the Patriots defense this year, how Baker Mayfield looks in a new offense. I'll say with Baker, I'm not going to tell you, yeah, I fully believe he's going to rebound and have a rebirth this season. But I could see him being somewhat successful in Carolina for this season. But really, let's not sugarcoat this. The Panthers improved their offensive line this offseason. You have DJ Moore. You got him, his contract done. But mainly, you need Christian McCaffrey to be healthy. The guy's only played 10 games in the last 2 years. So the way that I'll answer this, if McCaffrey is healthy, then yes, I could see Baker Mayfield having a successful season. If Baker Mayfield does not have the health of Christian McCaffrey, then there's going to be a lot of changes to Carolina after this year.
All right, go easy on this next one. Matty Ice, Matt Ryan, Colts.
I actually believe in your football team this year. To be a playoff team, to win the AFC South, do I think we're going to see Matt Ryan 2015, 2016 when he's winning an MVP? No. I think that Matt Ryan is long gone. But will there be points this year where you could look at Matt Ryan as a guy that's just on the outside or maybe creeping into the top 10? That would not surprise me at the quarterback position, but they're going to limit him. And they said that last year about Carson Wentz. They were going to limit Carson Wentz, but eventually with the game on the line and every quarterback has to go make a throw, I told you all throughout last offseason I had zero confidence in Matt Ryan or in Carson Wentz stepping up and delivering. Now, when it gets to Matt Ryan, I'm not telling you he's an extremely clutch quarterback. I'm not telling you he's a great quarterback. I'm not telling you he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. But this guy has been, at times, a great quarterback, or more so, a very good quarterback for now, well north of a decade. I believe Matt Ryan, if the offensive line's healthy, you have Jonathan Taylor continuing to be a beast, and I love Jonathan Taylor. You have a good but not great defense. Yeah, this should be a team that wins 10, 11 games this year because Matt Ryan won't drop the football or throw it to the other team like Carson Wentz did when any time the Colts were in a big game last year. And by the way, I know we haven't been together the last few days. I've seen you when I was filling in for Maggie and Perloff, and you gave me a very nice birthday gift yesterday, which I'm very appreciative of, as you got me a bunch of Jameson, which was wonderful. Good job out of you. So really my interactions, though, with you mainly the last 2 days since I was filling in for Maggie and Perloff on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, minute same CBS Sports Radio affiliates right before our show from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, have been on Twitter. So I have to keep up to date with Hickey on Twitter. And in the last 2 or 3 days, I've seen a lot of tweets from you saying, Commanders fans, regardless of what you hear in training camp, just know how this is going to end. Where last year, I tried to give you guidance. Out of the kindness of my own heart, I tried to tell you and bestow the knowledge upon you that Carson Wentz was going to be a disaster, and you looked at me last year like I was the biggest idiot, moron, and dope on the planet, and now you're in the role of me from last year, and you're trying to lecture Commanders fans so they don't end up with egg on their face like you had a year ago. And I find it funny how much things could change in less than a year.
Well, Zach, sometimes, you know, when you're a kid and you want to touch a stove and they say, don't touch a stove, it's hot, don't touch a stove. And guess what? You still don't listen. You want to say, it's going to be fine. I touched a stove last year. My hand is burned. I still got the burns on my hand physically. And now I'm trying to warn other kids, don't make the same mistake. And guess what? Even worse than last year, he's already screwing up this year. He's not even playing well. I mean, last year he wasn't playing, so I guess that's part of it. But
yeah, remember he had that foot injury last year. Every time the Colts
broken
would have a
toe,
a bad feet problem with Quinnen Nelson, and then also Carson Wentz. So I'm proud of you in some way that you've learned from your egregious blunder from a year ago, and now you're trying to assist Commanders fans, if any still do exist, because that football team has just been driven into the ground by Dan Snyder. And did you see at their open practice? The rooster, Chris Russell, sent this to me. There was a report. There was a piece posted a photo of fans at the open practice at FedEx Field or whatever they call it these days. It's a dump, so who cares? And I go, are these sewage pipes in midseason form? Because last year they had the sewage pipes leaking all over the fans. And he sent me back a photo from another reporter. There was a leaky pipe already at Landover, Maryland at FedEx Field. So they are in midseason form, no doubt about that. And it's only August. All right, next quarterback, go ahead.
New quarterback on a new team, Russell Wilson.
I think Russell Wilson will be really good this year. And you got to remember, Russell Wilson last year, year and a half, has not played great, has not played up to the level that we expect out of Russell Wilson. I've been on this take, and I know you've been on the contrary. But I filled in the other day, and when I was filling in, I've heard Perloff say this. I've heard Stu Kovac say this. So it's not just me that's saying this. Even Tony Dungy, who you love. You respect Tony Dungy, right, as a Colts fan. Correct, Amundo? You love Tony Dungy.
I do love Tony.
That is your guy. That's a smart football guy, right? He's a Hall of Fame
Super
guy.
Bowl.
So he's a Hall of Fame brain when it comes to football. He said he still believes the Broncos are going to be a year away. That they'll be good this year, but he's not sold on the fact that they're going to make the playoffs. So individually, I think Russell Wilson's going to have a really good year. But as I've been saying, they don't have the luxury like the Bucs did and also like the Rams did. Because that division this year is maybe the best division on paper that we've ever seen, and the conference is loaded. So if they go through a 3 or 4 week stretch where they have a downfall, that could come back to haunt them at the end of the year. So I believe in Russell Wilson, but I do agree with Coach Dungy that the Broncos are still a year away and they're going to miss the playoffs this year.
Will Mitch Trubisky have a rejuvenation?
Why do you even ask me this? Mitch Trubisky, he's not good. He shouldn't be starting week one. I hope he doesn't start week one. Mike Tomlin, listen to me. The talk show host isn't always right. And start Kenny Pickett. If they are comparable, if they are on the same playing field when it comes to your evaluation and after your evaluation in training camp and the preseason, you go with the youngster and Kenny Pickett. There's more of an upside.
Coming off injury, new head coach. How about Jameis Winston?
Unlikely. I know he's dealing with a foot injury right now. I'm not going to hold that against him. It's only August 10th. I like their offense. But anytime you start to believe in Jameis Winston, you see Jameis Winston either get injured or throw an interception or have a turnover in a big spot. I don't think it all comes together for Jameis Winston and what is a make or break year for him with the Saints in the last opportunity.
How about Jared Goff?
No.
See a little rejuvenation from him?
No. And we'll talk about this in the next segment. I'm already sick after one Hard Knocks episode of people trying to hype up the Lions. The Lions stink. They'll finish in third place this year because the Bears are even worse. But anyone thinking that Jared Goff is going to be successful, and I know he got to a Super Bowl with the Rams, but then Sean McVay didn't want anything to do with him. So if he couldn't find a way to appease Sean McVay with the Rams with that roster that they had, and Stafford comes in first year and wins a Super Bowl with basically the same roster or very similar roster, why do I expect now with Jared Goff that doesn't have a lot of talent around him, that does not have a good team around him, to start to have success when most likely they're going to be drafted a quarterback next year? I'm not a believer in Jared Goff. Nice guy, but not a good quarterback.
You just mentioned before, but get you on the record here, Carson Wentz.
No. Next question. I told you Carson Wentz was awful when he left Philadelphia. I told you he's going to be terrible in Indianapolis with the Commanders. How they gave up a second, a third, and then a conditional third that could turn into a second if he plays 70% of the games. After seeing what they were able to witness with Carson Wentz in Philadelphia and then Indianapolis, it could be the dumbest move of the offseason. And I don't understand it, especially when you see what Baker Mayfield went for and how Jimmy G, they're basically begging you, the 49ers, to go take him. It's just a joke. A terrible decision. They panicked. It was a hasty move by the Commanders once they weren't going to get Watson. And then also when Russell Wilson got traded to the Broncos. Dumb move by the Commanders.
And finally, Tua Tagovailoa.
I really want to see Tua do well. I'm just not buying it. I'm not buying Tua. I'm not buying Mike McDaniel. And it does concern me that Tyreek Hill, I appreciate the initial effort of Tyreek Hill hyping up his guy. But when you keep on having to tell me how great Tua is and he does this and that better than Patrick Mahomes, it's just not believable. And I think it's paranoia that sets in and nervous confidence from Tyreek Hill where he's saying something. I don't even think he actually believes it. And that's very telling to me. So therefore, I don't think Tua in a make or break year is going to have a successful season with the Dolphins. I don't think they make the playoffs. I think they have a good team, but they need a franchise quarterback. And so far, and it's a shame because I was a big Tua fan when he was at Alabama, I just have not been able to either see him healthy or good enough at the NFL level. Now there's no excuses with the moves they made this offseason on the offensive line, bringing in Armstead. Now you have Tyreek Hill complimenting Waddle. You have Gesicki back. I just don't see it coming together for Tua Tagovailoa this year. All righty, we'll take a timeout on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we return, we briefly just talked about it. The Lions on Hard Knocks. A lot of energy with the Detroit Lions. A lot of people a little optimistic about the Lions this year. I'm not. I'll tell you why on the other side.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Hard Knocks came out last night, episode number one. I was quoted in an article from something that I said the other day that the Lions are a blah team and they'll probably be blah on Hard Knocks other than Dan Campbell. What else do you really have to promote and get excited for when it comes to making compelling television based off a football story? After the first episode, Hickey, I'm assuming you watched it. I watched it this morning. What grade would you give episode number one of Hard Knocks, which basically it featured Dan Campbell, all of his speeches, his tough guy grit attitude. Jamal Williams has a really infectious personality. And then Aiden Hutchinson singing. I didn't really even think it was all that great and all that funny of a moment. The $23 million signing bonus, I thought, was actually the better reaction than him actually singing and him saying, hey, I made it Hutchinson from Michigan, first-round draft pick, and my signing bonus was $23 million, and the reaction of everyone of his teammates that was in the crowd in their facility. But overall, I didn't think it was that great of an episode. How about yourself?
B minus. I liked it for the most part. That was pretty good.
Like, are you a sucker for Hard Knocks?
Yes and no, if that makes sense. Like, I have not finished a Hard Knocks in preseason
since
in
the Browns
3 years. Yeah, whenever the Browns, that was like 2019. So, yeah, two or three seasons, I just lost interest. I think I'm going to watch this one fully.
I don't know how I'm going to get to the finish line on this one. Because I'll tell you, and this may not be, the folks at HBO may not like this. I had it on, and then I had to pause it. 30 minutes in, I had to pause it. I had to go make my smoothie for lunch, and I had to do something else. And when I sat back down on my couch, I almost forgot that I paused it. And I go, oh, I didn't even finish Hard Knocks. And then I said, okay, then let me sit down and finish it. But when I got up and walked away, I thought I finished the episode until sitting back down and going to my other TV screen and still seeing it was up on the screen. Here's my problem. I don't think it was a good hour episode. I went into it seeing excerpts of it online. I think the excerpts online and the conversation I saw online, it made me believe that the hour was going to be great and it was going to be an enthusiastic episode and it was going to be a great episode. Maybe it's just the way that the clips are put out there online and it's short and it's condensed that made me think, okay, it was going to be better than actually an hour. It was tough to watch that for an hour. Well, the Lions just aren't a sexy team.
You have to, I think, also change your expectations for the show in general. Not just the Lions, but Hard Knocks in general is not what it used to be.
No, I'm cognizant of that. But you could still have fun. You could still have good personalities and be funny.
And you think Dan Campbell came off as a good personality?
I think Dan Campbell's a good personality, but we already knew this about Dan Campbell, that the guy's crazy. He has 10,000 cups of coffee each and every morning. He's the ultimate football guy. He's all about grit. He's all about competition. I already knew those things about Dan Campbell. You know that right off the Dan Campbell introductory press conference when he says we're going to bite a kneecap off. I don't think I learned anything new about Dan Campbell last night. It's what I expected.
You learned that he's clumsy around the house, falling, hurting his wrist.
That's great.
And then still gutting it out to do 40 up-downs, which I don't know about you. I definitely could not do 40 up-downs.
Yes, you can.
No, I know.
You did 40. So, you did 50 push-ups in studio.
Push-ups are way easier than up-downs. That is,
you're
that's
not
hell
wrong,
on earth.
But I think you could do 40 up-downs. I do.
Have an EMT ready. I don't know if I'm making it.
You got to call McKeon then? Isn't
yeah,
he an EMT?
That's right. Bring him on in. Well, I don't know if I want him saving my life.
Whenever there's a legal problem here, they're always like, oh, we need an EMT. Just go call Brian Jack McKeon.
Check that box.
And I think they care more legally down the hall than they do for us here at our CBS Sports Radio studios, because anytime you've tried to eat something competitively on air, we've never got any legal notice from
they have the confidence in me that I'm going to crush it. So far, one for one.
I think you could do 40 up-downs. You're in somewhat good shape. You don't have a lot of weight associated with you. I think you can hit the floor and pop back up 40 times.
I don't think so.
Ugh, those were the worst. Two-a-days, high school, up-downs. Especially high school football coaches, they think they're professional coaches and they have to teach toughness and they're all these big meatheads that are just like morons. Ugh, high school football in New York now. I know it's probably different in other parts of the country and high school football is taken a lot more seriously in other parts of the country. But in New York, when you have a bad team and you have a coach that's making you just go to that level, it was just stupid. It was really dumb. When I played football, I thought the culture of football at Comac High School was just so dumb.
Wow. Call out the culture. Let's go.
I love my high school.
Tear it down.
I'm proud of where I grew up. I love where I grew up. But there was one coach that he made this out to be as if we were going to be a 10-0 football team. And we were nowhere close to that. And I don't think it was – I'm okay with conditioning. And you have to be conditioned to play football. I'm okay for the tough guy act. But there has to be a purpose for it. And I never felt like when I was coached in high school football, there was a purpose of doing all these ridiculous 110-yard sprints and the up-downs just to do them. For a punitive action, I get it. But just to do it, it made no sense to me.
Is the coach still there? Is he employed?
I don't know. I have no clue.
Oh, he's not listening. If so, he's on the hot seat.
If so, what is he going to do?
I'm saying his job's in jeopardy. If you're a Comac administrator.
I don't think the guy is still the coach there anymore. That was the scuttlebutt that I heard. I don't know why he's no longer the coach.
You just said why. He forms a bad culture.
And let me be clear, if you know the Comac football culture, I am not talking about Edward Bowl and I'm not talking about Joseph Reggio. Those were two coaches I really liked. But it was one of the JV coaches that I had a big-time problem with. And he got all upset with me. Think about it this way. I was the offensive lineman for the high school of the year in ninth grade. In 10th grade, because I went to summer camp and missed voluntary training. Voluntary. Then the next year, I did not start the first three games of the season. That, to me, was just stupid. It was petty and stupid because I wasn't there to do the summer up-downs.
You're not married to the game.
Yeah, I'm not married.
Good for the coach.
I'm not married to the game. I was in shape. It wasn't as if I showed up out of shape, even though I wasn't in the greatest shape of my life. When you're in,
James Harden rolling up in his last year with the Rockets?
No. I was ready to go. I was ready to start. Ready going in, had the whole training camp. I was there for all the two-a-days. I just wasn't there for the voluntary workouts that they had.
In the summer, that are useless for linemen. It's like 7-on-7 pass skeletons.
That's what we did. We stretched.
Hit the sleds. No pads,
stretched
no helmet.
And ran. That's what we did. So dumb. It was literally the dumbest thing ever. And one of the assistant coaches said, yeah, he's screwing you over. So at least they admitted it. At least they all knew it. But hey, it is what it is. You don't have to hear about my long high school football career. The glory days of Zach Gelb. Anyway, are you a believer in the Lions this year? I feel like you're starting to be a sucker for Hard Knocks. Lame Hard Knocks.
Well, define sucker. Like, what do you mean by sucker?
Can they be 8 wins this year?
We'll say 2 weeks ago. This is not buying into the hype. This is before the hype started. Said the 7-8 win team, flirting around 500.
They were a gritty team last year. And I remember Jody and I, we got into a big debate on Ion Football. Because Jody has some of that old school mentality. It's all about wins and losses. And I go, Jody, this team stinks. They're in a lot of these games. They have heartbreak each and every week. But in year number one, which is a wash year, I thought last year was okay for the Detroit Lions. So if you had 3 wins a year ago, I think 6 would be a successful season this year. Their schedule, though, is not a gauntlet. Eagles week 1, they'll lose. Commanders week 2, they'll probably lose that game. But it's not like that game you can't win.
Carson Wentz.
Yeah. Vikings, that's probably a loss. Seahawks, you should win. They're starting Drew Lock. Patriots, probably a loss. At the Cowboys, probably a loss. Dolphins, probably a loss. Packers, probably a loss. Bears, you could win that game. You should win that game. Giants, you could win that game. Bills, probably a loss. Jaguars, you could win that game. Vikings, probably a loss. But divisional game, so always tough. Jets. You could win that game. Panthers. I think the Panthers are a better team, but that game is not a game that you can't win. Bears, you could win. And then the Packers probably a loss. So it's really what's going to determine if they get to 7 or 8. It's against those other garbage teams. Do you beat up on those other garbage teams that are similar to you? when you're talking about the Seattles of the world and the Bears of the world and the Giants and the Jets of the world as well. And if you could go win three or four of those games, then you should be able to find a way to go get three more wins on your schedule. And there's always one upset where one team isn't. I remember like the Bills lost to the Jaguars last year. So there's always one team that's so much superior than the other team. And on that day, they weren't the superior team. But really, like, what are we going to do episode two of Hard Knocks? You already hit Campbell. You already hit Williams. You already had Aiden Hutchinson. What's the storyline? Do you have a storyline for me? There's no way I think I'm going to make it from start to finish on Hard Knocks.
I mean,
I didn't even make it from start to finish in episode one.
I don't know what fringe player you can kind of focus on, but I'm hoping we get, you know, some good preseason action.
I want to see a big-time feature on Jeff Okuda.
Good. Forgot about him. It's a good call.
That's the guy. I need to know where is the mental state of Jeff Okuda after expectations were sky high in the first few years. He's either been bad or hurt. That's the guy. But other than that, they don't have sexy names on this team.
How about Deuce Daly? You get fired up by him yelling at Aaron Glenn all practice?
I love Deuce Daly. Deuce Daly should be a head coach in this league. Since I covered the Eagles, I'm always good for Deuce Daly content, but I pretty much know everything there is about Deuce Daly at this point. More Antoine Randall content. I'm down with that. I'm down with some more Antoine Randall content.
How about Deuce Daly fart policy? You want more of that? What happens if someone actually does rip one? I'm in on that.
You know, they may need to implement that on the DA show, a no-fart policy, because between Bilotti and Mraz, those two bozos, they probably suffocate one another on the other side of the glass each and every day.
Thank God the air filtration in here is better than
right,
you think.
Isn't Pete management? Shouldn't he be able to enforce that policy, Mr. Big Manager? Bilotti's on my S list these days.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He said a segment we did suck the other day. Oh, that really, oh, it broke my heart. Oh, I'm really upset. I like Pete, but you think I care if you think I have a good or bad segment? I don't. And Mraz, come on. Guy's upset that I said it was my birthday yesterday a few times. That guy cried for a week when DA didn't acknowledge him on the air that it was his birthday. And he said it was Bobby V's birthday. And then made love to a donut. I post a few bottles of Jameson. I'm the worst person in the world. Hypocritical, those two. Mraz and Bilotti.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.